Access number 30641, Mr. John Lindsay, Real 6. Now, you weren't looking forward to DMOB then?
I was looking forward, but I did enjoy my time in Berlin. But we'll come to that in a minute. In the meantime, I thought I ought to try and find out what happened to my parents, and I applied and received permission for compassionate leave to visit Düsseldorf. Sometime earlier, I had already been confirmed that they were deported to Minsk in Poland in 1941, and that they had perished there. My main object was to visit a lady known by the name of Professor Peters, P-E-T-E-R-S, who had been my parents' closest friend. She and also her father were lecturers at the Evangelical Church University in Ketwig, K-E-T-T-W-I-G, and other places. Frau Peters was able to tell me quite a lot about my parents since the outbreak of war until the deportation. She told me that towards the end, my father had to endure the further humiliation of having to work as a grave digger. Also that in the evening before they left, Frau Peters visited and gave them Holy Communion. My father had left with Frau Peters the manuscripts of most of his literary works, many photographs and a large number of letters, which had been addressed to the three children, which they'd been unable to send. These included their last will, which required the three children to ensure that my father's publications, for my father's works, were published. The works consisted of historic novels, plays, poetry, etc. Also, there were some household goods kept for us. And in the course of several visits over later years, everything was brought to England. I also visited various houses in which I had lived as a youngster, and all appeared to have survived the bombing, although there was quite a lot of damage in Düsseldorf. I also visited a family by the name of Hammacher, H-A-M-A-C-H-E-R-S, who supported my parents for many years and had hidden them on the Kristallnacht. They were very pleased to see me and told me about their three sons, with whom I'd been very friendly. The youngest was killed on the Russian front, the other two survived and were visited by me later. One eventually married the daughter of Dönitz, who was a big nose in the German Navy. I was also able to visit my father's stepbrother, who lived in Nuremberg, where he was a chemistry lecturer at the local university. He was married to an Aryan wife and had no children. They lived in a very small flat and were virtual recluses. They never lifted a finger to help my parents in any way, and I didn't feel comfortable there. However, they looked to me to supply them with creature comforts, which were unobtainable in Germany then, but I was very reluctant to be cooperative, and then lost touch with them after that. My previous life in Berlin continued, having recently been promoted to staff sergeant. I was able to use the mess and the naffy, as I've already said. And came Christmas, 1945. It was decided we should have a Christmas tree. So the German driver whom we employed, who had been a German racing driver and a butcher, and was in the German army, we had little... It was known at the time, a utility van, and we drove into the Russian zone to steal a Christmas tree. Unfortunately, we were followed by the Russians and had to beat a hasty retreat, but we did get our tree. So then I decided it was time to think about my future life, and as I had not even got my matriculation or anything, really, I had to make up for lost time somehow. And so I enrolled for a correspondence course to take my matric, but I found that there were too many diversions, and I'm afraid I dropped it and didn't proceed. This was in 1946 by then. Life just carried on. We had I'd leave in England, we went to Brussels, we went to all sorts of places, and all the time I had this girlfriend, and we enjoyed each other's company, and so life went on.
Nothing particular happening, no particular duties?
No, we did go out into various parts of Germany to check up on Australian property, but hardly any prisoners of war. I don't think we've...
I presume they'd been collected by then.
Well, yes, but we didn't find any Australian graves, at least I don't remember finding any. So, by December 1946, I was told that my demobilisation date had arrived, but I could sign on. And after lots of contemplation, I did sign on, but I went back the next day and tore up the documents, and I decided it was time.
Now, why? Because you're having such a good time.
Because I was... I must have been 1940. I must have been 24 by then. I hadn't no education, no training, no connections, no anything. And how was I ever going to get on in life? So I decided.
So you were just marking time out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I decided really life was too pleasant. I couldn't carry on like that, and I better get down to doing something positive. So in December 46, I was demobbed.
What do you remember of that? Where did you have to go? What happened?
Good question. I can't remember.
Back to GB or to Britain?
Back to England, yes. And I got my civilian grey suit, thick flannel suit, and hat, shoes, and some money, but don't ask me how much it was. And
and this was December 46?
Yes, middle of December 46. I was then given 14 days leave, and that was the end of my army career. Although recently I found out that in fact I'd been on the reserve till 1957.
Now, all we do is get you back into civilian life, really.
Yes.
Could you just... So what were you going to do? Because
I had no idea what I was going to do. So I decided that, in view of my languages, I'm having travelled a bit. It might be quite interesting to go in some import-export firm. So I went to apply for various jobs and went to the labour exchange. And in the end, I ended up in a large, well, medium-sized import-export firm in the city, where I was required to write out invoices and deal with bills of lading. Very menial job, sitting in a Dickensian office on high chairs and high desks. And it was a miserable existence. At the same time, I decided I really must do some studying, so rather than sit for matric, I studied for a special university entrance exam, which was a sort of shortcut to being able to take a university course. I changed jobs in about, must have been early 1948.
Still clerical?
Still clerical, still import-export. Do you want me to carry on from
there? Yeah, no, we should just get you back into normal life, you see what I mean?
Not normal. And I then went to another company where I was offered quite an attractive job as a trainee manager in a department which only consisted of three people, which imported American railway sleepers, which were sold to pencil manufacturers, apparently the best quality pencils were made from these seasoned timber. And I'd been there only 3 weeks when all American imports were stopped because there were some foreign exchange problems. And so I was offered a job in another department or 1 month's redundancy pay, which I took with pleasure. All this time I carried on the correspondence course doing special university entrance, which eventually I passed. And then I had a job in yet another import-export firm, all in the city. And before I went there, I had another job. I went there and I didn't feel very happy. So while everybody was at lunch, I had a look at the order book, which was so empty, I decided that the firm had no future, and I didn't come back after lunch. They never saw me again. It's rather a stupid thing to do in retrospect, but I did. Having then passed the special university entrance, I decided I'd study for a BCom, Bachelor of Commerce degree, in the evenings at the London Polytechnic, and spent most of my evenings there and studying over the weekend. All the time I was working at this firm called Stitt, Kidston and Parker, where I sort of got very slow promotion, but was very underpaid.
Now, what about your nationality? Had you been naturalised? Had you become British by this point?
No, I got the date next door.
Did it take a while?
Oh, it took a while. I think it was 1957, if I remember rightly. But I can give you that.
Now, why was it so delayed? Because a lot of people were naturalised as soon as they got back from.
Well, I didn't know. I don't know why I was delayed, and I applied, of course, but. But I will check on the data, because I may have got it wrong.
And so you were naturalised? I mean,
eventually I was naturalised, yes. Well, that really made no difference.
Now, so you passed your thing. So what was your... And then very quickly, if you just outline the rest of your career, you know, you got your degree.
And then I had 2 years of evening classes. I got my intermediate and applied for a major county award, which I got, and did 2 years full-time. Got my degree in 1952. In the meantime, I had met my wife-to-be, and we'd been to America for 9 weeks, hitchhiking all throughout America, and did quite a lot of travel. In 1952, I set for my finals, and I was convinced I'd failed, so I took the first job I was offered, which was with... Eagle Star Insurance Company, where I was allowed to deal with plate glass claimers. Rather boring occupation. And I stayed there for the rest of my normal working life until I was 63 and passed through various departments and ended up as a general manager.
Now, the last thing is, how did you get on? How do you feel about the Germans now, in a sense? I mean, there's all this thing about reconciliation.
Well, I'm afraid I keep as far away from Germany as I can. I haven't been on holiday except once with my pros club. But, it is long ago. And I'm obviously not pro-German. I tried not to buy any German articles for many years, but in the end I succumbed to... A year ago, I bought a BMW, but I tried not to, and then there was a choice. Japan was just as bad as Germany, if it comes to that.
Do you feel anything about the current generations of Germans, in other words, the ones that weren't born during the war?
I have no contact at all with them, except after I retired, I was asked by a very, very large German company called the Munich Re to start a company for them in England, and that I did, and... But they were very internationally minded, and there were no problems. But do remember, all this time I never disclosed to anybody that my origins. And
you basically didn't let anyone know you were German, because you have no German accent.
I worked for Eagle Star for 35 years until the day I retired, when I had a private chat with my chairman, and nobody knew. Although they were stupid, because obviously it was in my application form, because I asked for a place of birth. But nobody ever pursued it.
Now, are you a member of the Hussars Regimental Association?
No.
No context with them?
I resigned because I went to one regimental dinner, and I appreciate during the war the officers and the other ranks had to keep separated, but we all died in the same way, and that we should have dinners just for other ranks and just for the officers, I'm afraid, didn't terribly appeal to me. So I left the association. Anyway, it's mostly a drinking bout. It's not quite my scene.
Thank you very much.